Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. You can find this on page 1570 of your pew Bibles. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arm, put his hands on them, and blessed them. I have one question. How stinking miserable did those disciples have to be? Just think about that for a second. How stinking miserable, how bad had life gotten? How busy were they that they had this really good rabbi? Now, I understand, not the word we usually use for Jesus, but this, at the end of the day, at this moment, he's a really good rabbi. Just an amazing teacher, amazing preacher. Now I would say perfect, like the perfect rabbi, because Jesus. Anyway, he really good rabbi, and they're like, you know what? You know what we're going to do with the really good rabbi? We're going to make sure the children go nowhere near this really good rabbi. They'd made access to Jesus exclusive. They'd walled him off. Said, no. No children, only important people. Only full-size people. For those of us who never really got full-size. Just how miserable had they gotten? And I get it. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, really busy, lots of people to talk to, many things to do, I get it. But they missed something about the truly faithful, the truest, strongest faith. Because these children, children have faith that is unshakable. They have faith that God loves them and that somebody came to save them. They may not fully understand it, but they have that faith. Do you remember what your faith was like when you were a kid? I do. How unflappable it was. How strong it was. How the world had not tried to take away your joy just yet. Most of the time, I'm running about 35% strength on my faith. Like, let's be honest, most adults, that's about where we're running about 35%. Some of us get up to 50, 60%. There are times when you get down to 0%. I run about 35% strength on my faith. Now, I don't want to confuse strength of faith and depth of faith. I have knowledge of things I did not understand before. I have an understanding of how salvation works and, more importantly, how salvation doesn't work and how you can't earn your salvation and no one's good enough for this. But when it comes to actually having strong belief in these things, I run at about 35%. And I think most adults run at about 35, 40%. Like, I don't think I'm confessing something to you. I think if we're being honest with yourself, that's where we're all kind of running. But remember your faith before your first crisis of faith. Remember when you just believed that God loved you. And that was enough. I wanted to make this about a much more complicated issue, but as I realized, this issue of the faith of children is as deep and as complicated and theologically profound as it can be. And so we're going to do something. I'm going to need participation. We're going to go through a hymn, the most profound hymn in any hymnal. Not an Advent hymn, not a Christmas hymn, but the most profound hymn in a hymnal. Jesus Loves Me. So we're going to go through this. I'm going to have you sing with me, all right? Jesus loves me. Stop, 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 stop. We need to stop there. Okay, Jesus loves me. If that is all that you have, if your faith goes no further than the man Jesus came to earth in love of me, Jesus is God, Jesus loves me, God loves me. If that's all you have, if the rest of this stuff that we're going to talk about throughout the ages of church, if substitutionary atonement doesn't mean anything to you, if you question the virgin birth, if you have like these crises of faith, but you have Jesus loves me, that's probably enough. It's so much. And so many people don't get that message. Okay, let's go again. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. All right, stop, stop, stop. If you are hearing a message from Scripture that tells you anything other than Jesus loves you, I encourage you to discount that message. I want you to hold me to that standard. If the message I give you has anything that implies that Jesus doesn't love you, that Jesus loves you less, or that Jesus could love you more, especially if you do the things that I want you to do, discount and throw away that message. The message of the Gospels is, thank you. And I'm not saying that there's not room for admonishment. I'm not saying there's not room for me to stand here and prophetically tell you about your sins. I'm not saying that. But at the end of the day, if the message is not ultimately about Jesus loving you, and you walk out of the sanctuary thinking Jesus loves you less than when you thought when you walked in, then you should discount and throw away that message. Scripture, we reinterpret Scripture through the lens of Jesus loves us, God loves us. I'm not saying it's not difficult. I'm not saying there's some things in Scripture I would much rather just be gone. But we always interpret it through that lens. And I have another thing to say. If you have ever been in a church that has implied that Jesus loves you less than someone else, I'm sorry. I don't have any other words to say than I'm sorry. Because I know those churches. I know those churches exist in this city. Jesus loves you. That's the ultimate. All right, let's try again. Let's see how far we can get this time. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Stop. Pull. Who thinks that they're better than children? I'm not going to give you time to answer that. Wrong. See, in some of your faces, you're like, yeah, I'm better than kids. You're not better than children. Your faith is weaker than the faith of children. Why would you not be one of the little ones that belongs to God? That belongs to Jesus. as you were wavering in your faith, and we're going to talk about this more in just a second, but as you were wavering in your faith, and then you realize that the little ones don't waver in their faith, why would God see you as less of a little one? Why would God not take you in God's hands? Why would Jesus not bless you like he blesses the little ones? All right. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Stop. Poll number two, and I'll actually let you answer this one. Who wants to go back to the responsibilities of being a five-year-old? Like, I'm just this is how I, this is more or less how I wrote it on the manuscript. Your responsibilities as a five-year-old are to learn, to read books you enjoy, which for those of us with master's degrees know, books you enjoy are not a thing you get to read all that often. Play. One of your responsibilities is to play. And to pray. Those are your responsibilities when you're 5 years old. And you don't have to provide for yourself. When we say, when my generation jokes, adulting is hard, because we don't want to, I don't want to take care of myself. I want somebody else to take care of me. Provide for me. And like, let's just assume that this is a best of both worlds situation. Like, you don't have to give up the good things about being your age. Like, I don't want to give up being married. I don't want to give up being a pastor. But I want to give up some of the things about being a pastor. And I just want to go back to being five, where our responsibilities are running around with boundless energy and reading books that we love and playing. When's the last time you played? Some of us are better at playing than others, what I'm hearing. And praying. And not like the long, complicated prayers of the people or long liturgical prayers. Like just saying, God, help me, I love you, amen. Like that kind of prayer. That sounds amazing to me. Who wants to go back to that? And so think about that for a second as you think about your faith life. Who wants to be responsible for their own salvation? No. You may think you want to be, but you really don't, because we keep failing. Daily need of the resurrection to be die and born again every day. I would rather put my salvation in the hands of Jesus, who loves me, as opposed to my hands that are mostly awful. Let us lean into the strength of Christ, acknowledge our weakness, and lean into Christ's strength. Okay, maybe we can get through it this time. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I've said in sermons here, that there are people much smarter than me, Karl Barth is the one that comes to mind, that have said that is the most profound hymn, the most profound words that he knew. And 13 volumes of Church Dogmatics is what Karl Barth wrote. Makes your head hurt. Yet to him, the most profound things are, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Think about the joy of childhood and think about the running around. I wish Kate was in here so we could watch her just crawl around and be happy. She's playing with a friend today. That's exciting. I wish I could get them on video so we could just see it. Like, the fun. You gonna pay for it there, Megan? There you go. There's something about that joy of youth. Does that song make you happy? It makes me happy. Lean into that. We anticipate during Advent Christ turning us. Use that song to turn you to happiness and joy. I know the world isn't going to be perfect. I know the world's going to be dark. I can pull up news apps and bum everyone out. But we anticipate Christ turning to remove all of our sorrow. But also we too can bring light and joy into the world today. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells us so. Rejoice and be glad. Amen.